We're continuing chapter 8 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. So the leprechauns have just done their, like, crazy dance with a fake gold coin. Well, possibly fake gold coins. And, now they all sit down. And now, ladies and gentlemen, kindly welcome the Bulgarian National Quidditch Team. I give you Dimitrov, a scarlet-clad figure on a broomstick, moving so fast it was blurred. Shot out onto the field from an entrance far below to wild applause from Bulgarian supporters. Ivanova, a second scarlet robe player, zoomed out. Zograf, Levski, Volchanov, Volkov, and Krum. That's him, yelled Ron, following Krum with his omnioculars. Harry quickly focused his own. Victor Krum was a thin, dark, and sallow-skinned with a large curved nose and thick black eyebrows. He looked like an overgrown bird of prey. It was hard to believe he was only 18. And now, please greet the Irish National Quidditch Team, yelled Bagman, presenting Connolly, Ryan, Troy, Mullet, Morin, Quigley, and Lynch. Seven green blurs swept onto the field. Harry spun a small dial on the side of his omnioculars that slowed the players down enough to read the word Firebolt in each of their brooms and see their names embroidered in silver upon their backs. And here, all the way from Egypt, our referee, acclaimed chair wizard of the International Association of Quidditch, Hassan Mostafa. A small and skinny wizard, completely bald but with a mustache, to rival Uncle Vernon's, wearing robes of pure gold to match the stadium, strode out onto the field. A silver whistle was protruding from under the mustache, and he was carrying a large wooden crate under one arm, his broomstick under the other. Harry spun the speed dial on his omnioculars back to normal, watching closely as Mostafa mounted his broomstick and kicked the crate open. Four balls burst out into the air, a scarlet quaffle, two black bludgers, and, Harry thought for the briefest moment before it sped out of sight, the minuscule winged snitch. With a sharp blast on his whistle, Mostafa shot into the air after the balls. And they're off, screamed Bagman. And it's Mullet, Troy, Morin, Dimitrov, back to Mullet, Troy, Levski, Morin. It was Quidditch as Harry had never seen it played before. He was pressing his omnioculars so hard to his glasses, they were cutting on the bridge of his nose. The speed of the players was incredible. The chasers were throwing the quaffle to one another so fast that Bagman had only time to say their names. Harry spun the slow dial on the right of his omnioculars again and pressed the play-by-play button on the top, and he was immediately watching in slow motion. Well, glittering purple lettering flashed across the lenses, and the noise of the crowd pounded against his eardrums. Hawkshead attacking formation, he read, as he watched the three Irish chasers zoom closely together, Troy in the center, slightly ahead of Mullen and Morin, bearing down on the Bulgarians. Porskov Ploy flashed up next, as Troy made as though to dart upwards with a quaffle, drawing away the Bulgarian chaser, Ivanova, and dropping the quaff of Morin. One of the Bulgarian beaters, Volkov, swung hard at a passing bludger with his small club, knocking it in Morin's path. Morin ducked to avoid the bludger and dropped the quaffle. Levski, soaring beneath, caught it, and... Troy scores, roared Bagman. And the stadium shuddered with applause and cheers. 10-0 to Ireland. What? Harry yelled, looking wildly through his omnioculars. But Levski's got the quaffle. Harry, if you're not going to watch it in normal speed, you're going to miss things, shouted Hermione, who was dancing up and down, waving her arms in the air, while Troy did a lap of honor around the field. Harry looked quickly over the top of his omnioculars, and saw that the leprechauns watching from the sideline had all risen in the air and formed the great glittering shamrock. Across the field, the viewer were watching them sulkily. Furious with himself, Harry spun his speed dial back to normal as play resumed. Harry knew enough about Quidditch to see that the Irish Chasers were superb. They worked as a seamless team, their movements so well coordinated that they appeared to be reading one another's mind as they positioned themselves. And the rosette on Harry's chest kept squeaking their names. Troy, Mullet, Morin. And within 10 minutes, Ireland had scored twice more, bringing their lead to 30-0 and causing a thunderous tide of roars and approvals from the green-clad supporters. The match became still faster and more brutal. Volkov and Volkanov, the Bulgarian beaters, were whacking the bludgers as fiercely as possible at the Irish Chasers, and they were starting to prevent them from using some of their best move. Twice they were forced to scatter, and then finally Ivanova managed to break through their ranks, dodging the keeper, Ryan, and score Bulgaria's first goal. "Fingers in your ears," bellowed Mr. Weasley, as the Vila started to dance in celebration. Harry screwed up his eyes, too. He wanted to keep his mind on the game. After a few seconds, he chanced a glance onto the field. And the Vila had stopped dancing, and Bulgaria again was in possession of the quaffle. "Dimitrov, Levski, Dimitrov, Ivanova, oh, I say," roared Bagman. 100,000 wizards gasped as the two seekers, Crum and Lynch, plummeted through the center of the chasers so fast that it looked as though they had just jumped from airplanes without parachutes. Harry followed their descent through his omnioculars, squinting to see where the snitch was. "They're going to crash," screamed Hermione next to Harry. She was half right. At the very last second, Victor Crumb pulled out of the dive and spiraled off. Lynch, however, hit the ground with a dull thud that could be heard throughout the stadium. A huge groan roared from the Irish seats. "Fool," moaned Mr. Weasley. "Crumb was fainting." "It's time out," yelled Bagman's voice, as trained Medi-Wizards, hurry onto the field to examine Aiden Lynch. "He'll be okay. He only got plowed," Charlie said reassuredly to Ginny, who was hanging over the side of the box looking horror-struck. Which is what Crumb was after. After, of course. Harry hastily pressed the replay and play-by-play buttons on his omnioculars, twiddled the speed dial, and put them back up to his eyes. He watched as Crum and Lynch dived again in slow motion. "Ronski defensive feint. Dangerous seeker diversion," read the shining purple letters across his lenses. He saw Crum's face contort with concentration as he pulled out of the dive just in time, while Lynch was flattened, and he understood. Crum hadn't seen the snitch at all. He was just making Lynch copy that. Harry had never seen anyone fly like that. Crumb hardly looked as though he was using his broomstick at all. He moved so effortlessly through the air that he looked unsupported and weightless. Harry turned his omnioculars back to normal and focused them on Crumb. He was now circling high above Lynch, who was focused on being revived by Medi-Wizards with cups of potion. Harry focused still more closely on Crumb's face. Saw his dark eyes darting all over the ground, 100 feet below. He was using the time without Lynch, while Lynch was revived, to look for the snitch without interference. Lynch got to his feet at last, to loud cheers from the green-clad supporters, mounted his firebolt and kicked back into the air. His revival seemed to give Ireland new heart. When Mustafa blew his whistle again, the chasers moved into action with a swift with a skill unrivaled by anything Harry had ever seen before. After 15 more fast and furious moments, Ireland had pulled ahead by 10 goals. They were now leading 130 points to 10, and the game was starting to get dirtier. And I think we should stop there. What do you think? So we'll continue chapter 8 next time. Hopefully I'll finish the match. I love you so much, kid.